Hey there, it's your friendly Vermont Edition co-host, Michaela Lafrac. This podcast has been spruced up and edited down for clarity. Hope you enjoy it. The joy of putting on a costume and transforming into a character is something many of us associate with childhood, or perhaps with acting on stage. But these days, costumes aren't only for creative kids or for actors. Cosplay, the practice of dressing up as a character from a sci-fi movie, a video game, or another work of fiction, is an increasingly popular and accessible subculture. That's according to Barry author Andrew Liptak. He received his master's in military history from Norwich University and works for the Vermont Historical Society. He used his skills as a historian in writing his new book, Cosplay: A History, published earlier this year by Saga Press. Andrew, welcome back to Vermont Edition.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I just gave the very bare bones explanation of what cosplay is, but for a total newcomer, what is cosplay?
It's basically the art of costuming and dressing up as your favorite character from a favorite story of yours, whether it's TV or movie or book or cartoon or comic book. So think Star Wars, think Game of Thrones, think anything from the world of anime. So it's basically expressing your fandom through the art of costuming.
I noticed that you attended Norwich University and you have a master's in military history. And I'm curious what you think the overlaps are, if any, between cosplay and historical reenactments, like a Civil War reenactment, for example.
A couple of years ago, I went to go a World War II weekend down in Reading, Pennsylvania. And just for a bit of context, I dress up as an Imperial Stormtrooper from Star Wars and a Rebel pilot. And one of the things that I'm part of with this group called the 501st Legion, and we try to strive for what we call screen accuracy, which means that we are trying to get as close, our the look and feel of our costumes as close to what you see on screen. And when I went to visit these reenactors at World War II weekend, you know, I realized that they had exactly the same mindset as some of my friends in the 501st. They were they related to the history and the story of World War II that they were researching. They were trying to get their uniforms as accurate as possible and trying to just bring that story to life as best as they could for the folks who are coming to see them. Reenacting isn't necessarily cosplay, but it's sort of like a really close cousin. And I really wanted to make sure that I approached it as that. I think what the overlap here is that you're trying to bring this story to life in for people around you, whether it's a fictional one like Star Wars or Marvel or Game of Thrones, or, you know, the story of World War II or the Civil War or the War of 1812, even if it's just for a couple of moments for the folks that are around you.
And I love that because it feels like it's connecting adults back to this sense of like joy in stories and immersive storytelling that many of us, you know, really connected with most when we were children.
Adulting is hard, isn't it?
Right.
I mean, and this is something that I think is really important to keep in mind is that, you know, the act of play and is not something that is reserved just for children. Play is important for everybody. And then there's the act of actually the creation of the costumes where you are, you know, putting your skills at sewing or with plastic or with foam or fiberglass or whatever you're using to make your costume. You know, that is a really, like, there's been times when I've been building costumes where I've, like, just lost myself in it and just the process. And it's a really cathartic thing to do.
In writing this book, you know, you cover years and years of the cosplay subculture. What was one of the most surprising facts you learned during your research?
I think one of the things that was really interesting to me was something that's, it sounds really boring, but, like, patents on 3D printing expiring. So I started doing this back in 2003 when I was just out of high school. I got my first set of Stormtrooper armor, and to get a set of Stormtrooper armor at that time, you had to, you know, I had to know somebody who knew somebody or be part of the right internet group or forum, you know, send a check for $500 or $600 off to them and, you know, hope that your armor arrived. nowadays you can go onto a site like Thingiverse and find, you know, you can find directions to print out an entire suit of armor or the right costume components. And 3D printing, like, I had no concept of that way back when, and it's become this really big thing within cosplay circles in the last couple of years. And the reason for that is that it became cheaper to buy a 3D printer. The patents expired on the technology, so companies didn't have to license it anymore. And the result was that a whole bunch of other companies started making their own 3D printers, and the price has come steadily down. You know, when you have that sort of lifting of that one barrier, it helps make the community a little bit bigger.
Well, I wondered about that because, of course, like with everything in the world, I can imagine cosplay changed dramatically with the evolution of the internet and being able to buy basically anything you want online at any time. You could probably make a pretty elaborate costume with stuff just that you can find on Amazon. But do you feel like that has changed the culture around making these costumes from scratch for better or for worse? Like, has it taken away some of the DIY aspect of it in any way?
I think it's enhanced it in some ways. There are places where you can go and you can commission an entire suit of armor, or you can commit, you've got cosplayers who actually make a living doing this, making suits or doing commissions for folks. And that's always sort of been the case. What the internet has done is it has supercharged this community, especially social media has supercharged these communities. And the internet's not a new thing for cosplayers. So if you go back to like the mid 1990s, when, you know, internet forums are really just sort of kicking off, that's when you start to see groups like the Replica Props Forum, which is still a really big forum for cosplay. You see these people, you know, people gathering in these places because this is what they really like to do. And maybe somebody's really good at painting a Boba Fett helmet, or really they know how to make a pulse rifle from Alien, or, you know, take your pick. Being part of that, you might be inspired to go make stuff on your own. So that's been a really big thing, unlike just sort of the commissioning and acquiring of props. The other thing that the internet has done, first with forums and then with social media, and then especially with sites like YouTube, the free sharing of information. If you go onto YouTube and type in how do I make XYZ costume, you will find a ton of tutorials. Most likely you'll find a ton of tutorials for how to make that costume. And that has been a really big thing, because when all this information is sort of locked away in forums, you sort of have to know somebody, or you have to be part of that, or know that you need to be part of that forum to get that access. Now it's just that it's sort of there at the click of a button in a search query. So I think that's been like the biggest thing that the internet has done for cosplay, is really just making a lot of that information accessible to a wide number of people all over the world.
Well, Andrew, going from the broad and the global to the hyperlocal, you live in Barrie, and I know that there are a couple Vermont-specific elements to cosplay and Vermont events that you detail in the book. One thing I wanted to ask you about in terms of the connection between cosplay and Vermont is the Green Mountain Squad, which is, as I understand, a community of stormtroopers that you founded. What is it?
So the Green Mountain Squad, it's part of the 501st Legion, and it's not just stormtroopers, but it's part of this larger global group. I'd say we have about 15,000 members worldwide, and it's all the people who costume as the bad guys from Star Wars. So your Darth Vaders, your stormtroopers, and even some of the more obscure ones that you might only see if you read the comics or books. I started doing this back in 2003, and I was one of only one or two people in the state that did this. When I got out of college in 2007, I had a car and disposable income and could, you know, drive around to events. And most of those events were down in Massachusetts or New Hampshire. And, you know, after a little while, that gets a little tiring. You want to, you know, do stuff that's closer to home. And I started looking for stuff to do around here, community fairs or festivals, like where we could just sort of show up and just bring Star Wars to some of the folks, you know, the attendees. And that was always just a lot of fun to do. And you might still see us. We have about 30 members nowadays. Another really fun connection, if you're in the Rutland area, you'll know it, is the Rutland Halloween Parade, which has been going strong for decades, and it has these really close connections to the comics world. There was a really prominent DC and Marvel comic fan that lived in the area, and he wrote to a lot of the artists and authors, and they would come up to Vermont to hang out, and you know, eventually the Halloween parade became this really big comic thing. And it's actually shown up in some of the comics, DC's and Marvel's comics, which is kind of fun. And so there's a lot of costuming associated with that as well.
Mm. So that's one example of a way that if somebody's listening and is interested in cosplay or trying it out, seeing what the community's about, that's a upcoming event that folks should keep their eye on. Are there any others that come to mind?
Well, I know that Rutland's going to be getting a Batman statue at some point. I would be very, very surprised if they dedicate that, you won't see somebody dressing up as Batman for that. So that should be a lot of fun. Whatever. I don't know when exactly that's happening, but that'll be a lot of fun.
Will that person be you, Andrew?
No, I pretty much stick to Star Wars. There's a couple of other costumes I've done that are mostly just jumpsuits because they're sort of my con casual thing. So armor can be hot. It can get hot and restricting. And so if I'm running around a con and I don't really want to deal with that, I've got a jumpsuit from a film called Moon. I've got a whole list of stuff I'd like to do, but it's a matter of time and energy and whatnot.
Well, Andrew Livtak, author of the new book, Cosplay, A History, thank you so much for your time and for telling us about cosplay in Vermont.
Thank you for having me.